Blog Talk Radio.
Chillax. Hello, everyone. I am Giovanni Brusto, the media mogul, here with today's guest, LGBT rapper Medino Green, and our editor-in-chief, Tiani Spears. And this is season two of the Poplitz.com radio show. Okay, guys, so I have an announcement to make about a person that was booked for the show. And no, I'm not getting married today to anyone here. So I booked this guy who begged to be on the show, and he also wanted to be covered as an eye candy model, despite me not being able to get any information on him. I had a spot to fill, so I figured, what's the worst that could possibly happen? I booked him for the show, but decided to hold off on the modeling post. I sent him the topics through DM, and since he didn't give me his email, I got his number, but I woke up and was blocked today. So the only plausible explanation that I could possibly think of is that the person is a catfish. His Twitter name, get a pen, Tion, get a pen, write it down. It is That's Chera, that's C Charlie H. Howard, A-E-R Robert A. Tweet him, send him a message, and ask him why is he using other people's pics. I was really, like, actually upset about this this morning. But it's my fault for not properly vetting someone, especially a thirsty troll. And thank you, Minister Spears, for coming in and saving me at the pulpit today.
Yes.
So, monologue over. How are you doing, Tion?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for coming back on some, 18 months later, I think, since the last time we
recorded. Has it been that long? It's horrible that I work here, yet I don't participate in the podcast. I need to do better.
Yes, do better. What is it? What is Beyonce's, like, not that charity of hers? Do good, be good, something like that, whatever.
It is.
And I have to welcome newcomer Medino for joining us. He's actually already had his Glitz cherry popped since we did an interview with him already. I know I'm, like, totally inappropriate, but how are you, Medino?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Sunday.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you for being here. All right, so getting started. Rapper Iggy Azalea had a tough year last year, with everyone from the Huffington Post, Wendy Williams, Bossip, and even New York Magazine, of all places, all declaring her career is over. In the April edition of, I don't know how to pronounce it, Han Magazine, S-C-H-O-N, she said she suffered a psychotic breakdown, and she considered suicide after having intense backlash over her career last year. To this day, I still have, like, no idea what actually happened. If I'm not mistaken, she has a number one on the Hot 100, something that Nicki Minaj actually did not. But, Tian, would you like to fill us in on what you think happened to the career of Iggy Azalea?
Well, with everything that's going on with all these young black men being killed and Black Lives Matter happening, a lot of people have been waking up, as they like to put it on Twitter and Facebook. And Iggy sadly became one of the few white hip-hop artists to be attacked, mainly because people feel like she's appropriating black culture. But what makes it interesting to me is that back in, like, 2012, when, we were first introduced to Iggy, and everybody was all like, oh my gosh, this white girl, she's pretty, she can rap, and she just needs her time to shine. Then her time came, and I just think it was the wrong time for her to blow up. I personally don't think that she's appropriating black culture. I feel like this is really who she is. as far as rapping goes. But it's because of that that a lot of people have been attacking her, and a lot of people in the industry have even spoken out against her, including T.I., who mentored her. I can't blame her for feeling like, you know, well, I'm hated anyway, so I won't be missed.
So you're saying, you say that you do not think that she appropriated Black culture?
I don't think so. Like, she's a rapper.
Yeah. Medino, how do you feel about that? I mean, being a rapper yourself, do you feel some kind of way when there are rappers of other ethnic groups that decide they want to rap as well? Do you think that they should pay homage to the culture in some form or fashion?
This is like grabbing a double-edged sword, being an artist myself and being Black. When it comes to me personally, when it comes to other artists of like different ethnicities, you know, mimicking the hip-hop world, it's kind of like, how can you take what they're saying as serious as you would a Black person saying it? You know what I'm saying? Because it all goes with the whole, you know, race thing. They, you know, they have Asian rappers, but listening to an Asian rapper, if you didn't know he was Asian, you might think he was dope. But the moment that you see that he's an Asian, you'll be like, oh, I can't take him serious because look at how he looks. You know what I'm saying? So I think when it comes to Iggy Azalea, because she's a female and she's kind of one of the first white females, I think, to actually go mainstream, it's kind of hard for her because, you know, she's coming out at a point where everyone is surrounding and focusing their attention on the other female artist, Nicki Minaj. So it's kind of like she gets the leftovers, you know what I'm saying? And being the fact that she works with a lot of, you know, or she used to work with, you know, like T.I. and people of that sort that were in the whole, you know, drug and gun violence and all of that stuff, being the fact that she surrounds herself around people like that, she might feel comfortable and feel at home, but when she talks about it, being that it's coming from her and because of how she holds herself, you know, people take it and they're like, oh, well, you know, you're just a white girl. You don't really know nothing about that, or, you know, you're just borrowing from the culture, or you want to be Black so bad. But, you know, everybody wants to be Black, but nobody knows what it's like to actually be Black, if that makes sense. But,
yes. Now, you had mentioned about her, like, getting the leftovers. And again, I have to repeat that she did have at least her big number one hit. I mean, Nicki Minaj wins the BET Awards like every single year, and it's kind of expected. But she's been, Iggy's been mainstream in the sense that, I mean, she had a number one on the Hot 100. That is something out of all these years, even with Nicki perceived as being on the top. There's just, I mean, Iggy came out at number one. And as for appropriating Black culture, I mean, I feel like music is music. And I don't see anything wrong with people stepping into other genres. We do it all the time. I'm not aware of us owning R&B, I mean, or owning pop music. I mean, it's just music. If someone wants to step over and do it,
why not?
Problem.
Not for nothing, people accepted Eminem. You know,
yeah.
So why can't they accept a female? But I guess it's more challenging for her because, you know, she's a female. And when people look at her, they look at her as an Australian female. They look at her as a white girl. They look at her as someone who, you know, you don't know what it's like to live in a hood and not have heat. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what it's like to be slapping roaches and chasing rats all day. You don't know what
that's
like.
But she did mention, I mean, she mentioned that she had a hard time getting over here. I don't remember her story, but didn't she say that a mother send her over here and she had to make money on her own, I think, in the country.
Yeah.
In the country by herself, cleaning hotel rooms, was it?
Yeah, she did.
I know that that's a watered I know that's a watered-down story. I am certain it was probably worth a child cleaning hotel rooms. What type of hotel do we think that she was working at? I'm just saying, I'm not going to be insane. That's too
no family.
Lied.
15 in the middle of Miami.
Yes. I mean, you know, Miami has some ghettos now. It's some tough parts of
I'm sure she went through a lot, and, you know, it was enough for her to, you know, be able to tell a story, or it was enough for her to have her story, because every artist has their story. Now, her story might not be as rough as the next female MCs or the next, you know, other, you know, another rappers, but that's her story, you know, and people that have been through it can relate to it. As far as her wanting to commit suicide, I just think it's because, you know, people were shaming her for something that she really didn't have no type of control over. And had she would have spoken up and said something, she probably would have got popped in the mouth either way. So it was kind of
like, I agree. She was a scapegoat, as I see it. You all mentioned it was the timing. I mean, she became big in the middle of, I mean, we're kind of in a race war in the country right now. And
right.
They're looking at someone to attack. You know, we have various figures in the media that we're, you know, pointing at to scapegoat what's happening, be it Donald Trump, et cetera, when in fact the stuff was going on before. And it's like, you have to say something. You have to be on our side. And the way that I see it, you know, she's a young girl as well. She just wants to make music. And, you know, you may not necessarily have anything to say. And it didn't bother me that she didn't. I mean, they were really picking on her, as I saw it. Maybe from the PR standpoint, it might have been appropriate to have her, you know, somebody pick up the girl's phone and send a tweet on her behalf, you know, or take a picture, or you write a statement for her, because that's what you have publicists for, you know, to keep things on the up and up and make sure that, you know, that they're in line. But it is what it is. She, in their sense, especially Azalea Banks, the nutcase, who I think is just upset that she has the same damn name as her, just wanted to have someone to pick on, and for nothing else, and trying to say that she was only successful because she's white. I mean, you know, you want to do better, make better music, Azalea. That's my take on that.
I mean, is it weird that I was just talking about Azalea Banks yesterday? Like, I love her music.
Don't give that troll any credit.
It's like
it's medication.
It's like with Kanye West. That's one of the situations when you really have to learn to separate the artist from the person. It's
but
like,
Kanye,
okay, I actually
successful.
Like some of her music.
But Kanye is successful. When you are successful, you can say certain things. Kanye has made a lot of money, and he has done a lot. And he is an asshole. He has earned the right to be an asshole, in my opinion. I say Donald Trump is an asshole. He has, like, 40 years of business success to justify being an asshole, as I see it. Azalea just needs to stop it. You are just bitter. She's scraping the bottom, attacking literally everyone. She's talking about, you know, these artists kissing up to white America, whatever. Yeah, but you posed naked for Playboy. Pot meat kettle.
She's also dating. Remember that guy in Bring It On that had a crush on Torrance? Kirsten Dunst's character? Yeah, she's dating him.
Dwight?
Cool.
He's white? What was his name? Yeah, he's white. He was... He was Eliza Dushku's brother in the movie.
See, by Felicia. I mean, and see, the sad part about I don't even like mentioning her. She gets on my nerves. She's just so bad. She needs to get her life together, get her career together, actually do something worthwhile to be talked about, other than than being a troll. Because at this point, all you want to do is get on reality TV, you know, R&B.
Interesting that with Azealia Banks, how, you know, she came out at a very young age and everyone was just like, she's going to be the next best thing. And then as soon as she opened her mouth, it was kind of like she was banned from everything. And I think that comes with her being honest and upfront and speaking her mind. You know, she's saying what a lot of people want to say, but they don't have the heart to say it. And I think regardless of her success, you know, Azealia Banks can still put out a album and she'll still get record sales because somebody's still going to play her music. I just think, you know, sometimes certain things can be said behind closed doors, but, you know, it's a time and a place for everything. I just think she uses Twitter as an outlet because that's where she'll, you know, people will see it the most.
That's true. I mean, you know, we have publicists for a reason. And, you know, every now and then we wake up and we see an artist and we declare that the person is crazy. You can ruin your career over Twitter. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But you are risking your image, career, all of the above. But anyway, moving right along to the reigning Felicia of hip-hop, Carrie Hilson. She's set to release her first single, supposedly, this weekend after a five-year hiatus. Now, Carrie's a very beautiful woman, and if you have seen her boyfriend, Serge Ibaka, and the eggplant that this man has.
Oh, God. Oh, yes.
If her career never comes back, hand over my heart on this Palm Sunday, I promise that she wakes up a happy woman each and every day.
Every single day.
Where was I? So this announcement about it came out, or the press release came out saying it'll be out Saturday, Sunday, something like that. She took to Twitter because, again, who the fuck uses a publicist these days, saying that the press release was fake and that she was going to get to the bottom of who is responsible and likely with legal action. Whatever you say, Carrie. You couldn't afford a publicist, so I doubt you can afford an attorney. What do you think, Tion?
Why are you attacking poor Carrie? Why do people attack Carrie Hilson? I don't understand.
I love her. She's an easy target, but I'm on her side. Like I said, she is beautiful. She is Beyonce's daughter.
She is an easy target. Now, as far as suing the people that issued out a fake press release, I kind of understand that. I can see why she would do that. But at the same time, we're living in the social media world. And what better way where, you know, blogs and websites are basically running everything now. Like, no one actually really, I don't really know too many people who pick up a newspaper or even buy magazines anymore to know what's really going on. Well, except for myself, because I'm subscribed to Vogue and GQ. But, as far as music goes, when people, artists realize, and labels realize that if people want to know what's going on with an artist or what this artist is about to do or what this album is doing, they go to Twitter, they go to Instagram, they go to Facebook, they go to Poplist. Yes, shameless promotion. They go to Billboard and they go to all these websites.
Yes.
And, you know, so for Carrie to be upset, I can totally understand that she's upset because the information came out sooner than she would want to. But at the same time, she should be happy that there are actually people who are excited that she's about to release new music. This is a good look for her because people have been asking, where is Carrie Hilson? I've never really been into Carrie Hilson. I love her as a songwriter. But as far as her music, as far as the music that she, you know, writes for herself, I've never really been into it. But the music that she's written for everybody else, specifically Queen Britney Spears on her Blackout album that no one bought but me and a few other people,
You know,
I think Carrie's great. I think she's very talented. do I think she should sue?
No.
She should be,
we can have a stadium full of seats for that. A staple center full of
just release a snippet or something. Like, girl, give the people something. Like, they're actually waiting for you.
That's how I feel about it. What do you think, Medino? Are you excited about a Carrie Hilson project, for starters?
Yeah.
The way that
I'm
going to
tell you why.
Project is jazz.
I'm going to tell you why I'm excited. Clear my throat. I like Carrie. I've always been a fan of her music from, you know, the very beginning, when she came out with Energy. Now,
I did like
we
Energy.
All know, we all know that she's responsible for a lot of people's music. And I made a post about this on Facebook the other day. One person in particular, Beyonce, we know she's responsible for writing some of Beyonce's biggest hits. Now, I've seen, you know, little video clips where, you know, she would go out and try to sign autographs or whatever, and people would literally hand her, like, a Beyonce CD to sign or something like that, just being, you know, shady and disrespectful. I just find that to be obscene, and I think, like, for artists, like, that'll get you pop. I mean, for me, because, you know, I'm not mainstream, so if I beat somebody's ass, it's okay. But, you know, for somebody like her, like, she's put in a lot of work. You know, she spent countless hours, I'm pretty sure, in the studio constructing these songs for them to sound the way that they do. And then for people to kind of just, like, turn their back and be like, oh, who? Carrie Hilson, who? Like, it just does something to me because it's kind of like, why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, she's responsible for the same song that you're singing now, but you don't know who she is because she's not in the front for it. So, you know, when I see people sharing that story and then they go who and all this other stuff, it's kind of like, well, who are you to ask who is that, because we all
exactly.
know who Carrie Hilson is. You know, I think when she spoke publicly about her relationship that she had with Beyonce, people took it as she's not a team player or she's just a poor person or whatever the case may be. You can say whatever you want about Carrie, those songs are already done. So every time somebody spends a dollar on a song, that's not going to Beyonce. That's going to her because she wrote it. Beyonce
right.
just performed it. So I think it all comes to a respect matter because not for nothing, when the story came out, I was kind of excited because I was like, yo, that's dope. Like, she disappeared after the No Boys Allowed album. And, you know, there was one story that came up that I read a while ago about her, like, trying to issue an apology to Beyonce camp and, you know, whoever else Beyonce works with for, you know, how she carried herself. But I guess, you know, that was just one of those publicity stunts or whatever you want to call it. But to hear that she actually has a new song and a new album coming out, I think is pretty dope because who knows, like, it might be something worth listening. It might be worth the wait. I'm pretty sure she went through a breakup at this time that she did this. She broke up and got a new man. So I'm pretty sure there's some heartbreak music on there.
And what a new man he is.
Did she? I missed that. Oh, my God. Who she did?
Yeah, I can't remember the person that she was dating, but I remember, like, she was with someone at the time of the No Boys Allowed album. And then I think
after that,
they broke up. And when they broke up, she was on Twitter talking about it, and I remember her saying something about it was hard for her to write songs because she was just so emotional over the whole situation. So I got my fingers crossed hoping that, you know, some of them heartbreak songs are on there because not for nothing, music, there's no heartbreak music out there anymore. Everybody's trying to twerk, shake their ass, and get money. So it's kind of like, can KC punch Mary in the eye one more time so we can get
oh, God.
Can we get some real music back?
I know. Look at you stoking violence. Who are you, Donald Trump?
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God.
He did not do
Kim K. When he said Mary, I said, wait a minute. Wait a
but
second.
But y'all know when he had
Chris
her,
Brown?
She got the best album of her life. Like,
true.
Disclaimer,
true.
We do not condone violence here at popglitz.com. That is all. But listen, you know, I think it was... Listen, I want to say that I think that it was a publicity stunt. I mean, I think that they just threw a little something out there just to see what would happen. As far as what happened to her career and when she made the announcement about her relationship with Beyonce, Beyonce was at a time where everyone was accusing her of you know, stealing people's music and just, you know, being a general crook. I mean, remember when Ne-Yo said, when she was going around saying, the song that I, you know, she talks like a four-year-old, the song that I wrote, Irreplaceable. And Ne-Yo said, no, oh, no, I wrote that, you know. And she did that multiple times over, and Carrie kind of did the same thing coming in saying, hey, I've done a good amount of this woman's work. And, you know, hey, being in the background, I totally get it. But going up against the Beehive is, you know, that is never an easy feat. And she
it's
is
the Beehive.
Yes, yeah, she is the example of why Beyonce is not one to go up against. And we know Miss Biaki is petty. Remember when she took what's her name song, Lettucey? You're just going to go to an award show and sing somebody else's song. I didn't have any new music.
Well,
so I just feel like stepping on somebody else just for the hell of it.
In that situation, Beyonce was asked to do that, okay? Let's get that straight.
Yes.
Definitely, as a part-time member of the Beehive, I don't appreciate the slander.
Well, first of all, in the words of Portia Williams,
I'm not really a slander. I'm a part-time member of the Beehive. I like Beyonce. I've always liked Beyonce, but I'm...
Well, hold on. Let's
I'm
go back
like
to what Carrie Hilson said 10 years ago. Didn't she have kids at home to take care of?
Has it been 10
Don't
years?
You have a baby's hair to comb?
Has it been 10 years?
I mean, she may have liked her... Like the song said, she liked the baby hair when it had an afro. That was not an afro. And America did not like it. White America was like, what is this? What's wrong with it? Don't they have perms or something? Can't you put that thing in a beret? You know, rub it with a dustpan or something.
A dustpan?
I mean, a broom. I don't know.
That was the most random thing ever. Make it stop.
So, next up, Stacey Dash.
Right. Oh, God.
Hey, I don't even have to make a joke. All I have to do is say her name. Sort of like early 2000s baby-shaking Michael Jackson. Stacey Dash, who is currently America's leading token clueless black Republican, just might be seeing her political stretch come to an end. But fret not. Rumor has it that Bravo's Andy Cohen has tapped her to join the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Tion, this is
what?
For
what?
For what? We'll get it. Tion, this is one story that I am praying with every fiber of my being is true. What do you think?
Well, as you know, I've never watched The Housewives. I've never been into it. But if Stacey Dash joins, I definitely have to make room on my TV schedule on Sunday night. It does come on Sundays, right? I will have to make room in my TV schedule, and I'm going to have to tune in because that will be a show. To see her and Mimi go at it would be like the most ultimate TV moment ever. Next to New York and Pumpkin, I think that I think Stacey Dash joining the Housewives of Atlanta. I want it to happen. Make it happen. Who should we talk to? Who do we need to tweet? Make it happen. Who's the producer? Isn't Candy's husband one of the producers? What's his Twitter handle? Stacey Dash on the show. I want her there. I want her there. I'm campaigning. Make it happen. I'm going to start a hashtag. Make it happen.
Make it happen. Bravo.
Make it happen. Bravo. And then do another hashtag, Stacey Dash. Yes. That's what I'm going to do.
What do you think, Medino? Any thoughts on Miss Dash joining reality television, or thoughts on her in general?
I gotta watch what I say. I'm an artist.
she's not an artist.
No, I'm saying I'm an artist, so I gotta watch what I say. That's true. I think.
You know what, I'm just keep it short and simple.
Take your time, Shane.
If she joins the cast of The Real Housewives, I'm pretty sure the ratings will definitely go up because people are going to be anticipating her first argument with anybody. I think, my main question is how is she considered a housewife? Who is she married to? That's the first question. But then if they want to put her on for ratings, then I'm all for it because I'm pretty sure everyone is going to dig into her ass at least once.
Well, she can move to Atlanta. She lives in Los Angeles, right?
So did Kenya Moore. But she still made it on. She still flew herself across the country and set up her little whiteboard of what she's going to do. She's
really
going to take guys every week.
Where does she live? Like, seriously?
I'll tell you one thing. I bet if they offered her the show, she'll, as the reports claim, she'll be right there in Atlanta. I know that much. And I will say this, in the words of NeNe Leakes, close your legs to television producers. Close your legs
to sit here and
the casting directors. Now, I personally have no issue with people having differing political views. I happen to be a Black Republican myself, but my issue with her specifically, like, it's not like kind of the issues that she's or the points that she's making. It's the fact that after 4 years of Obama being in office and her being on television, she is just as bad as the day that she first started. I've seen high school media students do better than her. It's like she's playing the adult version of Dion Davenport in Clueless. I know that Dion's
playing. That was who she was.
You know.
Okay. Like, she never looks prepared, and she never looks like she has a grasp of what's going on. I just saw her on Fox News' Outnumbered, and she was horrible. Like, not even horrible. It was terrible. It was cringeworthy. She can't read a teleprompter. Nothing that she had to say was relevant to the discussion. It seemed like she had these memorized talking points that, you know, might have a little something to do with the subject, but it was... She doesn't look comfortable, and she's just bad, like really bad. And I do not see Fox putting up with that after this election. I think that, you know, once whatever happens, that's it. People even on Twitter, like from her own party, were saying about how just awful that she had been. At first it was nice to have her, but now it's like, why? Why is this still going? This is like a sick joke. Make it stop. So I can totally see her being going over to reality television. And my girl and fellow pundit here in D.C., Crystal Wright, she's the antithesis of Stacey. She was saying the other day that the lady couldn't debate her way out of a paper bag. Even answering a question, the lady isn't capable of doing. But I have plenty of questions for her, so I just cannot wait to see her in a normal environment to see whether the woman is human.
I'm sure she is. I think it's all for I think it's all just for publicity, because you know they say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Anything that you do, someone's gonna either find the greater good out of it, or they're gonna find something negative to say out of it. And you know, us Black people, we're kind of just like, why is she on our side? But at the same time, you know, you gotta think about it. Whenever something like that comes out, or whenever something major, you know, involving African-American people, she's really not one to speak up for it. She's kind of like on the opposite side, you know?
But the thing is, if you're going to argue a point, be good at it. I mean, that's just my issue. I mean, it's I guess the fact that, I mean, people disagree with the point, which is fine, but it's articulated in a horrible way. It's just bad, from the points to how it comes out. I don't even think the producers like her. She's always sitting there looking greasy. I think that all of her spreads and photo shoots were photoshopped. They had to have been. She's sitting there like, I mean, like she's sweating bullets. Like I just tweeted the other Sunday. I was like, What bucket of chicken did she just jump up out of? Why is she all greasy and oily? Like she's just. I'm sorry. I can't get over this. Seriously, there are, you know, seriously, you have people on the sidelines and whatnot, getting up and touching people in breaks. I don't think they like her. I think they're just deliberately letting her sit there and look like a fool.
Who led him on this podcast?
Someone go dab her head, please.
Dab on him.
Now,
no family,
no friends to dab on her.
No one.
Now, in legitimate Hollywood news, Oprah's lesbian lover, Gayle King.
That is not how, you know what.
You're really on it today, aren't you? You're
reveals
really...
that there's, you know, I'm on like cup three of coffee, at least three.
Damn.
Damn, Autumn. Reveals that there's trouble in paradise between Oprah and her other gay lover, Tyler Perry. Now, I can say that because we all know she got her man from the same agency Kenya Moore gets hers. She just has a better contract, and Tyler Perry uses the same agency for the men that he uses for his plays. Anyway, Gayle says that him and Oprah aren't getting along. Oprah gave him the platform to have a show on the Oprah Winfrey Network. But what she did, she asked him to get co-writers. Tion, you've heard me say this before, and for years, actually. All of his stuff sounds the same, and it has since the 90s. Medea, for the last 15 years, has not taken her medication. She still has her gun in her purse. We have all of these abused Black women.
It's the same formula.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But I give him credit for what he's done. Everyone said that it wasn't possible. He's made a lot of money, and he has his audience. But when Oprah Winfrey tells you to do something, you do it.
I agree. There's just honestly no other way to say it. This is Oprah. You do it. Rihanna. You know what she said to Rihanna about Chris, and you see how that happened. Anyway, I can totally understand Tyler being okay. So, like, the article says, well, Gayle says that it's competitive. I'm using my quotation fingers. I don't find it competitive. I just feel like you have open.
Gay men always like competing with women now. Not me.
It's just that. You have the owner of the network and the person who's making the network a success. They're just clashing.
How are you going to compete with a woman who who's in a higher weight class than you.
True. You know what? Mendino, get rid of him, please. I don't know why he feels this. He has the right to say whatever. Yeah. Say that again.
I said, are we talking about Oprah still?
Yes.
No, I'm talking about Bonnie. him, make him get rid of the coffee, and I don't see why he feels like, because he's had 18 cups, that he has the right to say what he wants to say. But no, like, I just, from a creative standpoint, not to put, you know, our business out there, but, you know, Vonnie, you and I, we clash here and there in certain situations because, you know, you're the owner of the website and I'm Beyonce. And, you know, you know, you suggest things and I go back and forth with you because I feel like as the person that's doing the writing, from the writing standpoint, that, you know, I think I know what's best, but you being the person who owns the website and is looking at the statistics and putting all the money into it, you feel like you know what's better. So, you know, there's a clash of wanting to be in control there. And I can kind of understand how that happens with Tyler Perry and Oprah. But at the same time, like you said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Because no matter what, people are going to watch it because it's Tyler Perry. And he does have a very devoted fan base. And he knows what his audience wants, which is probably why the haves and the have-nots. And what's that other show that's on OWN? It's new. Something to deal with wives and husbands. I don't know, because I'm never even into out there anyway. But he feels like if it's working and it's bringing OWN money, then why change it? I can totally understand that. But at the same time, I understand where Oprah comes from. It's just very, it's complicated. Don't you think, Mendino?
I like Oprah. So
I love Oprah. In my head, Oprah's my grandmother.
She's like my grandmother on my daddy's side. In my head.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't have people in my family her size, so I can't relate. Now, what gets me? Go ahead. Now,
I really don't know how to answer this.
That's all right.
It should be enough room and enough money for the both of them. They've both been successful for over a decade now, so, you know, they need to just work it out.
I mean, well, for her, multiple decades. I mean, but she is the boss, so it's, or the network exec. So it's a little, that's going to be tough. I mean, hopefully the two work it out. You know, and see, what gets me is how is Gail going to backstab that good Berber carpet that she has been. Eating off of for the last 30 years. But I tell you one thing. Oprah is going to put a stop to that. You see how she's joining Weight Watchers? I guarantee you she's going to lose weight, get snatched, and go find her a fresh young black to sloppist, just like Miss Caitlin.
Coffee.
She might even put Caitlin on, put her on her on the OWN network, since, you know, Caitlin's show has been canceled. And they can go out and find some new carpet together. Since
canceled Caitlin's show.
Yes, they did. And see, since Caitlin said she too is a lesbian and likes women, they can do a show together. Go and find them some women together. Women. She just want to get herself. We're going to carry on beyond that. That countdown, so don't worry about that. So she is going to get delivered from Gail. So Gail can talk all that trash that she wants to. That relationship is getting ready to end. I guarantee you that. Now for the closer, Cat Williams. I've said this before. Cat is the reason.
Lord.
South Park's Mr. Mackey said, drugs are bad, okay? The latest accusation for Cat Williams is that he invited a woman to his home, had her beat senseless by other women present, and just before the woman blacked out, and here's the kicker, she says witchcraft was used. She says they were chanting and putting shit in a mysterious liquid. Do you buy this, Tion, Minister Spears?
I mean, as a watcher of American Horror Story and as a Louisiana resident all my life and very familiar with the voodoo culture, I do feel like voodoo and witchcraft are real. However, with this story, being that it's Cat Williams, and being that, have you noticed that for the past
week or so,
there has been a new Cat Williams story every week for the past month? You know, we've covered most of them, but after a certain point, I'm just like, okay, now it just seems like some people are capitalizing on Cat Williams because he's already in trouble, and you know how that goes. I don't know. I mean, I do feel like Cat Williams is like you as far as when you have too much coffee, as of today. I do feel like Cat needs, you know, to sit down sometimes and relax and get himself together. But I don't think that this happened.
I mean,
I don't know what else to say about it. Like, it's Cat Williams. Cat, like I said, he's been in trouble for the past month, every week. Something's been happening. Like, it's just like, okay.
Well, first of all, a man with hair like his, and he had... he had a group of women in his house. I call BS right there.
Well, you know, Cat is popular with the women.
He has
a lot of women from
what I'm understanding.
Yeah, like,
is Prince. And Prince is taking pictures with his bare ass out.
But that's what he's known for doing. Prince been doing that. That ain't nothing new.
Yes, Prince.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, Caitlyn, it took her 60-some years before she came out. It is never too late, Prince.
Before this show ends,
I'm going to do a call to Christ for Prince.
I've never thought that Prince was gay. Like, never, ever, ever. What's wrong with being feminine? There's nothing wrong with being feminine. Right,
criticizing people's outfits, saying people like Lil Mo can't match.
Okay. Medina likes her. I'm not going to say anything.
Go ahead, meet Medina.
I like Lil Mo.
Isn't the Felicia the segment of the show over? Oh, God help me. See,
I told you it said coffee. How many sugars are in it? Is it cream?
Let's see if that, hopefully.
Or is it black?
Oh, God, no. The day that I start drinking black coffee, beware. Beware. You know, for the first time in the history of DC's subway system, it was shut down for over 24 hours this week. Like, that is what would happen if I started drinking black coffee. You know, like, it'll be a monumental occasion. As for another artist that was just mentioned, the Felicia segment of the show is over, and we're going to leave them there. I actually find it completely within the realm of possibility that Cat Williams would be practicing witchcraft in his house. Whether or not the five women were there, I don't know. But this is amazing.
The five women were there, but the witchcraft thing, I don't know. Maybe she saw something, but it wasn't what she thought she saw. But then again, you never know because he, you know, I'm not one to talk about people being on drugs or whatever, but, you know, there was some stories circulating that he wasn't all the way there. So, I mean, you got to think about it. When you rich like that and you got that kind of money, you could experiment and try whatever the hell you want. And you'd be surprised some of the stuff people get into when they got money for it. So,
the absolute truth in the difference of, you know, artists and normal people. I do say that, I mean, they are regular human beings. I poke fun at folks all the time. I give credit where credit is due. I mean, you get to a certain point, you don't have to get up and be anywhere technically, you know, like on a really set schedule like others, as far as a job or whatever. You know, you mess up, you have a team that's kind of going to pick you up. So with that being said, you know, if you have all this money and kind of time on your hands, yes, you can experiment, you can F up, whereas, you know, the rest of us in a 24 cycle, we have to get up and be presentable places, you know, and disclaimer number two, I have never done anything in life. So, yeah, actually, I probably drink, do I want to say once a quarter? Would I be lying if I said that? Once a quarter, a couple times. Anyway, whatever. But remember when Cat Williams allegedly opened fire with a shotgun in the parking lot of Walmart, maybe 7 years ago or something like that?
I remember that. That's when everybody on the internet was sending all of the irrelevant people to Walmart for, like, concerts and, you know, comebacks and stuff.
He allegedly ran from police. I remember the story. I had a little hard time finding it. In a four-wheeler, I believe, like, on the sidewalk. Does anyone remember this story? And then as recently as this month, the holding a handful of women at gunpoint. I believe that he had a, like he got a scholarship to, was it a scholarship to college? I remember he had a scholarship. I mean, it could have been private school. I don't remember. But he was recognized as a smart kid from early on. And, you know, those are the ones you kind of have to watch. You know, he's probably a little too smart for his own good. And also one of my other favorite stories, a Latino heckler shouted some things at a show of his. And his response was, if you like Mexico so much, go the fuck back over there.
Oh my God.
And when asked about it, his response was, I don't have to apologize for being pro-American. So someone who has that type of media history of these types of outbursts, anything could be possible. I mean, he's still funny, though. I have to give him that.
I mean, after you say all of that, okay, I'm telling you, that
what?
Coffee that you're drinking, don't bring it back.
No more coffee? Okay.
Grab yourself a bottle of wine like I do. This is what I'm currently drinking right now, if you see.
Yeah, I could probably use one of those, but I just got yelled at while we're doing this show about, even though I was up all night long working, about some other other work. Anyway, now, wrapping up, today's show is brought to you by our parent company, VM3 Media, your source for communication and media consulting needs. I would like to thank Tiani Spears and Medino Green for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Much appreciated.
Absolutely.
And make
sure
you...
Wait. Hmm? Oh, well, go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
Actually, while I have you both, Medino, you're releasing a new project, correct?
Yes. It's already released, actually. It's already on iTunes and Google Play and all of these other fun stations and stuff, Spotify and all of that. So make sure you guys check it out. You can look it up. Just type in Medino Green. It is called M23, the Retro Edition EP. Go ahead and shake your ass to the music, because it's good music.
I know that's right. I'm going to check it out.
And you can find Mr. Tiani Spears, editor-in-chief of popglitz.com, right here, each and every day, except maybe some weekends, you know, on the site. I promise there was no shade. We love you, Tiani.
There was shade.
Make sure you tune in.
I sat here today. I went to the site. I'm like, oh, my gosh, the site hasn't been updated since Friday, since the last article I wrote.
That is okay. It is appreciated. Okay, we have other stuff happening. You know, I'm being reminded about what else I'm supposed to be doing as we speak. But anyway, folks, make sure you tune in next Sunday at 3 p.m. I have the privilege of being on a panel with two male Adonises, PopGlitz eye candy model Anthony Johns, who was just signed to a new agency a month after we covered him, and a friend of mine from over 10 years, Devin Giddings, both from New York City. See you all next week.